some time. I already deal with all this, my wife and I'll sing that song. That's just a song that her and I just once in a while get alone together and we just sing together. Just a lovely song, gracious song. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. You know, over the years, the Lord really has given us a couple of special givers in this church, and he has. And I really thank God for them. And I never want to be in a position where they have to carry things. And again, I thank God because there has been a couple people in this church. Some don't even live here anymore. They've just sent in money. Some who do live here sent in money. And I thank God for them. Again, what a gracious thing to do that, okay? But again, I love it when that person just has a little bit of money, puts in that widow's mite, okay? It goes a long ways. Now, Galatians chapter 5, we'll go to verse 13. Now, you'll notice I preached on this last week, and then Pastor Hayne preached on it Wednesday night. Now, for anybody who's been coming Wednesday night, if you have any discernment with God, you know this. Pastor Hayne is in a groove with the Spirit of God. That just happens to preachers from time to time, okay? They can't always make that happen, okay? But if a man will serve God and stay tight with God from time to time, God will take him and put him in a groove, okay? And you're just in there. And I've just had more comments over Pastor Hayne's preaching these last 3-4 weeks than I think I've had the whole time he's been here, okay? Just been in that groove. Once in a while, I get in that groove. I've never had the maturity in Christ to know how to stay there, okay? But every once in a while, it happens. I'm in that groove. Well, what a blessing Pastor Hayne's been in. One of the proofs is a young preacher would have never dared to get in the pulpit, preach the same verse Pastor had preached 3 days earlier. But an older preacher would. He'd say, yep, God's still here, okay? And he'd shake that tree a little bit. He'd shake that branch a little bit just to see what comes down. And some stuff came down, okay? Well, we're there again. We're going to shake that tree a little bit here some more. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Pastor, I want you to stand and pray for this service.
Father in heaven, without your presence, without your working and moving in our hearts as we hear, and in Pastor's heart as he speaks, we need, dear Father, to have from you that which you want for us. And what you want for me is different than you would want for others. And in like manner, we go around the auditorium and we're able, dear Father, to realize that you love each of us as an individual. And so we ask you now, speak to each of us individually. And then, Father, I pray that we would yield to you and do that which you give to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, in all seriousness, I often say, what do I really want for the people that come here? I tried to turn you into some kind of religious Jesus freaks or holier than thou people. God forbid. God forbid there be anybody here have that kind of reputation. God forbid. Mm-hmm. You know what I want? I want your life to be filled with love.
Yes.
Joy, hope, happiness, contentment. I long for that.
Yes.
And I've learned I can't find that out of the Word of God. I've learned I can't have it any other way. It's where God's shown it to me. It's out of this book. So I long for that for each and every one of you.
I have this on? Yes, I do. Thank you.
By golly, we got it right. So when I preach here, it's with that idea that maybe you could take these things home and make something of your life.
Yes.
You know, my boys know. Of course, when Randy moved in my house, he got the shocking reality. I used to say this. You know, every boy wants a girlfriend. Wants a girl like them or whatever else and such. And I used to say to him, well, if you like that girl, why would you give her yourself? Why would you do that to her? What do I mean by that? Make something of yourself. Okay?
Yes.
Build a plan, build a foundation of a life.
Yes.
Build something that you can invite her to be part of.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And instead of two codependent people leaning on each other, trying to find strength off each other and such, even the world knows that doesn't work. Okay?
Right. Yes.
And so they've taken that serious. One of the things I've learned about Randy is he'll say, well, what girl would I do that to? And he's gotten that. And you know what? He's building a life. And one day there's going to be some girl so goofy. And she'll look at that platform and she'll kind of want to be on it. They say, oh, he's got autism. I got a son-in-law with autism. My daughter just loves him. Psychiatrist asked her, how do you stay with him? They want stuff. And you have to learn, you know, over there. Here he's gone to medical school, all right? Teaches in the university right now and such. And, you know, you have to learn. Eric, did you take the keys off the table? No. He took them off the dresser. He's got the keys in his pocket. She's looking all over for them. Later on, where are the keys? In my pocket. Why didn't you tell me? Well, you asked if I took them off the table. You know, and again, and so one of the things they have to do together is work on, well, what else could that have meant? And to go through that. They'll be at Walmart together. And he'll start talking to the woman. She kicks him. He says to the woman, oh, I'm learning social skills. And he starts over. And so, you know what? There's somebody goofy for every goofy guy. It's a wonderful thing. But so many people come together before that man has established himself. Before he's built that foundation of a real life for himself. And settled. And he can't build that foundation for a woman. Okay? He can't do that. And so I long to see that in everyone's life. And then for a woman who really is someone, who has some character, has some backbone. You know, with this horrible thing going on with a missionary, Peter Heise, right now, and this horrible thing where he's there in Romania and he's had this heart attack and brain, with no oxygen to his brain for a while. And it's a miracle right now because now he's smiling for the doctor and gripping the hand and such, but he won't smile for his wife. And people who've gone through that come out of it say, it's like you're in a kaleidoscope. All of a sudden something will focus, well, that's my wife, and then about the time you focus on her, it's gone again. Some people never come out of that, and some people do. But you know what I've learned? I learned there's a woman by the name of Julie Heise that's probably one of the most noble people I've ever heard of in my life. That man has a wife beyond anything that any man should have ever been able to ask for. And it wouldn't have been known without this, and I marvel at that. And I long that every man should have such a woman.
Yes.
Okay? And you know what? There's not a woman here that God doesn't want to make you into that woman.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's not a man here that God doesn't want to make you into that man. There's not a woman here. Now it says this, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? That's how God wants you to love your neighbor. What would you do for you? Okay? What would you do for you? You know, if your neighbor doesn't have gas in his tank, would you put gas in his tank? Would you put it in your own? Yeah. But what if you were abusing people? Would you want anyone to help you then? No, you wouldn't. Okay? So if your neighbor's abusing people, you don't help. Okay? You love them like you love yourself. Okay? Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one with another. Pastor Hayne preached on this Wednesday, and all the grace of God poured on this church. It's just a wonderful thing. That biting and devouring one another, and some of you just get caught up in that. That biting and devouring and angry and upset with each other and such, and oh, what an awful life. And some of you just don't know any other way, and God's showing you there is another way. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, the lusts of the flesh are a terrible thing. They don't hurt your life. Sin causes depression. It makes your life miserable. It's one of those things that'll just take all hope out of you. It'll make you want to turn to pharmaceuticals and drugs and alcohol and things, anything to get rid of the agony and the emptiness of heart and such. And God said, I've got a cure for that. Walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? Get in the Word of God. Follow the Spirit of God, what He's got for your life. Get in there and read that Bible. You say, well, I don't know much about the Bible, but get in there and begin to explore it. Begin to find out what it is. Okay? Begin to find out what it says. And I was glad, as Charity said, we've got to ride to church this Sunday. An old friend of hers, Randall, came by and talked to her, and she told me, she said, you know, I found a place where God's able to deal with my family and deal with things and show us hope. And Randall, I'm glad you came today. Yeah, glad you're part of us, okay? I was telling Nicholas today, I know what it's like to have just enough money to maybe buy a quarter bag of dope, or maybe just enough money to buy 2 days of food. You know what I'd do? I'd go buy that quarter bag of dope, because now I can go to my friend's house. They'll let me come in. They'll feed me. I got some dope. For 2-3 days, you know, live there, sleep on the couch, smoke dope with them and such. And they feed you, and finally the last stems and seeds, and then you in the bowl and you burn. You know you got to go now, okay? You've worn out your welcome. I lived the depression, the misery of it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Awfulness of it. Trying to survive day by day. And you know, it's kind of like the car out in the field. You put it in drive and you can't get it out of the mud. And so you put it in first gear and you rock it a little bit. And you know what? It spins out, it goes 3 inches, and you go a few more inches. Pretty soon you get, oh, you're on the road. And then you forget to take that car out of first gear. You drive down the road, you're burning that transmission, you're burning fuel. And we have so many people who've come to this church. You've learned survival skills.
Yes, sir.
But you can't get out of first gear.
Yes, sir.
You can't begin to put your life in a better gear and get it out there like it's supposed to. And God wants to show you how to do that. And one of the things is, don't walk after the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Man. There, you know, the Bible says there's no sin that hath taken you, but such as is common to man. You're not the only one struggling with these things. See, we have some people here who have learned over the years ways not to let those sins eat them alive. And it's actually brought happiness and joy to them. You know, there's people out in the bars tonight looking for the life. And we found it. We have it. We have it. Now it says this, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary, one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. And you know, I've known so many people tried to compromise and have the Christian life and the worldly life all together, and it doesn't work. It just falls apart. People just look at you like a big hypocrite, and it just destroys your witness. It destroys everything you're doing and such. And so the Bible just warns you, they're struggling. It's two things that are contrary one to another, okay? You can't submit yourself to the lust of the flesh and have the Spirit take over. You have to submit yourself to the Spirit. And God's going to show you many ways to do that. Okay? One of them is by getting in the Word of God and really sometimes memorizing something, sometimes just studying it, getting into that stuff. But God wants to teach it to you and give you this better life. And you know, when I think back over the 11 and a half years that I've been here, I think of so many that sat in these pews that at one time tried a little bit and then gave up. And it's so hard to go see their lives.
Yes,
it's so hard to see the shipwreck of those lives.
Yes,
it's so hard for me, for people that once sat here and sang the hymns and such and looked like maybe they'd make it, but it's such a grace for those that God has brought through.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, what a wonderful thing, those that God brought through. I remember Jerry Feister, picking up Bibles and hymn books and taking them home in love and taping them back together, because the people who came in here with children so undisciplined, they tearing the pages out. Jerry Feister would go home and make that her ministry and didn't chew those people out or anything else, and just went and mended those books and would bring them back in and such. What a gracious thing. You think God's forgotten that labor of love when some of those families sit here today and they're whole and they're right with God? You think he's forgotten that? Never in a million years has he forgotten that.
Right.
Then it goes on and says this, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the works of the law. You know, sometimes you just sit there and work, I can't say this, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I don't want you to be bound up with all these regulations.
That's right.
I want you to do what you can do, not worry about what you can't do. So it said, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the works. You know what? The Spirit of God will just lead you in places that's full of joy and happiness. The Spirit of God will lead you places where You'll go for a day and realize, oh my goodness, I wasn't oppressed today. Oh my goodness. And you want to know something? You might find where you have a whole day where the agonies of hell and sin that have been eating you alive, gnawing at you, didn't bother you that day. And then maybe you go through 2-3 days where it's all back again, and then maybe you get back into it. You might have 3 days in a row where it doesn't eat you alive. 3 days in a row where the Spirit of God leads you and shows you peace and comfort and shows you this better life. And then it comes back again. I don't think I've ever gone 21 straight days where the old things didn't come and try to oppress me. That songwriter said, days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow's paths I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. You know what? Days of darkness are going to come over everybody here.
Sure they do.
There'll be days where all the darkness comes back. But you want to know what? By his hand I'm safely led. You'll go back to this place that God's given you.
Yes.
You go back to this place. Betsy Cassiola said to her husband, Betsy got saved coming here to Youth Week for 3 years in a row. She told her husband this. She said, honey, no matter how bad it is, we have this place now that God's given us. This place we can go. This place in the Word of God with his God. I just love that when she said that to her. We have this now. We didn't have it before. We have it now. We have it. And God wants everybody to have that place. That quiet place with God. Catch the pirates and all that. That quiet place with God. That place that you could go and to find that. And there's not a home. There's not a person. There's not a family. There's no one that God doesn't want to do with that with you and give you that and to begin to build a platform and a life for you that others would envy and want. But it doesn't matter if they envy and want it. You'll envy. You'll want it. You'll long for it.
Yes.
What a gracious thing that God
yes,
does. And he says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, meaning they're visible. Which are these? Adultery. Adultery is lusting after other men's wives or husbands in your heart, maybe even going ahead with stuff with it. Fornication, that's any sexual acts outside of marriage. Those are the works of the flesh, okay? Uncleanness. Uncleanness is anything you get involved with that's against the holiness of God, okay? Uncleanness. Some of the pictures you look at, some of the words you use, some of that stuff that you do, okay? It's uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness are these horrible emotions inside of you that just want all filthy, wild stuff. You know what the sad part is? We now live in a country where people have taught themselves to let that go and it's normal, it's all okay. And everybody needs to give you big hugs when you give yourself over to this and the filth of it. And then the depression and the suicide and the misery. And everybody says, well, you can't say anything against those people. Maybe I won't, but I'll say something against their sin. I'll say something against the idiots that teach them that, and they're idiots.
Yes,
idiots.
Yes,
idiots. Idiots in Congress, idiots as governors, idiots sometimes as presidents, idiots because they teach people that sodomy, which God hates, is all right. Sodomy, which destroys the flesh, the minds, and the souls of people, is all right. And I thank God for every person in this church that's been delivered out of that and found the hope of God in Christ Jesus. You want to know what? I don't have to take pills to live this way.
That's right. Yes, sir.
How come the people that smirk have to take pills? How come? Yeah, smirker. I saw you too. I love you. Goes on, it says this. Verse 20, idolatry. Idolatry, where you put anything above God. Anything. Witchcraft. That's rebellion. It says so in the Old Testament. Witchcraft, rebellion, doing things your own way, okay? You want to know something? Horrible stuff come with that. I remember when I used to lay in my bed. Don't you worry about those children dropping things. Thank God that they're here. Thank God they're comfortable bringing them here. We put up with it. We put up with it. I used to lay in my bed sometimes. You can't believe the things of fear that would come over me. You can't believe the demonic oppression that would come over me and such. And I'm living this hellish life and such. And it's frightening. It's awful. And I'm telling you what, you realize you need God and you need God bad. Witchcraft. There's music that goes with it. You want to know what? After a while, you'll get rid of that music. You'll get rid of it. You won't want it in your house anymore. You won't want it in your life anymore. Because it goes with, you know what, if God speaks to men in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what's the devil? Who is a musical instrument? Pipes and tabs. What's he speaking to people in? Okay, listen to those words sometimes. Listen to what it's saying. Listen to what it's telling people to do. Hatred. Hatred. Boy, think how many people here have just lived with hatred. You know, Jody Montgomery said this to me. God bless her. Again, they're sick today. It was terrible, the stuff that's going through. Awful. You know, she's got a dear family member she's been praying for. But she said this. She said, Pastor, I finally saw what you talk about. How somebody who years ago, his spirit was broken, but never his will. What do I mean by that? Every child needs his will broken. Not your will. You're going to do what your dad says. Your will may be to go in there and play. No, you're coming to the table and you're going to sit right now. That's my will, and your will is going to conform that. But you never break a child's spirit.
Yes.
Never. That child needs to be able to flourish, whether it be poetry, whether it be the arts, whether it be sports, whether it be just fun. They need to flourish. That little bubbling spirit in them always needs to work. And there's people who know how to crush the spirit in a child, but never instill discipline in them. Never make that child's will broken to do the right things.
Yes.
So that child goes out and gets in drugs and horrible relationships and such, defying against their parents, but somehow that spirit broken inside of them. The Bible says a broken spirit, who can bear?
Mm.
Oh, it's an awful thing. Mike, one of the reasons I love you is because I know you grew up someone trying to break your spirit, and the Spirit of God brought you people. The Portville Baptist Church, the whole power with God was in that church in those days.
Amen.
Take a 15-year-old boy and teach him the love of God and heal that broken spirit.
Amen.
And allow the God to build and build it and break his will to God and what's right. I love that. And there's so many of you that God wants to do that with. Heal that broken spirit. And building you a will to do right. And some of you parents, you have a chance to break your child's will for evil. But not that spirit.
Yes, sir.
That glorious spirit in that child. I think you realize, Chris, that's the difference between you and Jody. One of you is trying to break the spirit, the other is trying to break the will. Okay? Pray on that. God will help you with it.
Yes,
sir. God will help you. Goes on and it says this. Idolatry, hatred, variance. Variance. You know what that is? One person says this, so you say that. The guy says up, you say it's down. Tanya gave a testimony that one time. Somebody says white, you say black. Somebody says fast, you say slow. Okay? Variance. Just always different. Got to prove you something. Emulations. Trying to be like other people. Wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, and there's nothing weightier than a fool's wrath. Okay? Strife. Do you realize there's certain people, I don't care where you put them, if you put them in a room, there will be strife. And if you put them on a desert island by themselves, there will be strife. They bear it in their soul. It's just there. It's the work of the flesh. Seditions. It's trying to get other people to follow in your rebellions with you. Heresies, teaching things against the Bible that aren't so. Envyings, longing to have what other people have. Can't be happy if someone's got something you don't have. Can't be happy. Murders, and the Bible tells you murder starts in the hearts, that hatred. Okay, that wanting, when you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. You realize this? In the law of God, it said this, if you accidentally kill a man, and I mean accident, that happens sometimes. It says there's a man when he pulls back an axe and the axe handle comes off and it kills a man. But the law calls that manslaughter. And you're not guilty of murder. But you know what the law said? It said if it could be proven that you hated that man before time, it is murder.
That's right.
You know why? Because the definition of murder is the hatred, not the act. The definition of murder is the act. And our law, and God's law, is the hatred behind it. Okay? hatred behind it. And that's why John said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. My first convert in Vermont got saved off of that verse. Got saved off it, standing out in the field, working for a couple days with their dad, digging potatoes. And in agony, because she hated her brother. And you see, she was the perfect child. Everything she did was right. Everything her brother ever touched was wrong. And she crying, digging these potatoes. That's no Vermonters. Crying, digging these potatoes, and thinking, there's my dad, thinking that I'm the good child. But Ed's never hated me. I've hated Ed. My dad doesn't realize I'm a murderer. And I look so good. And she said the second day, weeping into this hole of potatoes, you know, got that spade, digging these potatoes. And she told me, she said, I pulled a potato out of the ground. It was the most perfect potato I'd ever seen. And she said, I looked at it and said, you know, this is exactly what God made a potato to me. And she said, I envied it because I'm not what God made me to be. I'm this horrible person. And she said, that I remember. And he said, that's why Jesus died for me. She said, standing there in that hole with that potato, I got saved by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Become a good mother. On the brink of divorce, one child. Last I knew, they had seven, homeschooled, all playing instruments. Okay? God working that grace in God. Why? Because he showed her that her hatred was murder. Okay? He showed her that, and then delivered her from that life and gave her Christ Jesus. Oh, what a glorious God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother McVeigh is going to go preach in their church, I think, next week. I told him Vermonters have two expressions. One of them is just a bland expression that just says yup and nope. Now, I've never seen the other one. They only use it at home. All right? But it's there. All right? Now, goes on, it says this, and heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before. They have told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It didn't say you were lost. It just said when God comes to give out the inheritance, since you don't have any. Okay? You don't have any because that's how you live. Okay? And there's not a person here that God doesn't want to get the honor and glory from your life. And when he does, your life will be so full of joy and happiness. Real purpose in your life. Something to live for. Something to have. You know, I was thinking, Randall, one of the greatest evangelists of the whole 20th century was a man by the name of Oliver Green. Back in the late 20s, early 30s, an old girlfriend brought him to church. He got saved and born again. Say, he never ever married that girl. They went different ways. That wasn't what it was for. It wasn't for romance. Just knew he needed help and brought him into the house of God. He became the greatest evangelist. The man that won me to the Lord got saved under him. And it says this, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's what, if you have the Spirit of God, here's the fruit that will come. What happens when you plant tomatoes? Tomatoes come out. What happens when you plant potatoes? Potatoes come out. What happens when you plant corn? Corn comes out, okay? At least when other people do it. It never does when I do it. But, all right, but the thing is, what happens when you plant the Spirit of God in your life? Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Oh, is there anybody that just doesn't want love in their life? Joy. Oh, there's no substitute for joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance, against which there's no such law. Oh, there's no family here that I wouldn't want that for. There's no person here that I wouldn't want that just working in your life because I've seen the grace that it does and how wonderful it is. I stand here and marvel at some of you, and that my heart just goes out because I begin to see these things in your life. It's such a joy to me that it's in your life.
Amen.
Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Nobody likes crucifixion. But boy, my flesh has just done some awful stuff to me. It's made me do some terrible stuff. And how much rather would I have the nails in the hands and the feet hang on that cross of Jesus Christ and not let that flesh do what it wants to do, so that the Spirit of God can run my life. Oh, how much better it's run. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I guess, Pastor Hayden, you know this is your moment. Thank God for you, Pastor.
Grant sing a song that the way it's written, it's a declaration, it's a statement.